And thank you also, Ms. Reynolds. So we'll move on to United States versus Torres Herrera. Mr. Connors.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The exclusive issue on appeal here is whether Mr. Torres Herrera's low-range, within-guideline sentence was reasonable, given the fact that defense filed a motion in advance of sentencing to consider specific factors under Section 3553 that may have
warranted. Actually make an argument.
How much
all you say is the court acknowledged appellant's argument for a lesser sentence, but ultimately found a guideline sentence appropriate. You don't say that's wrong, that he made a mistake. Isn't this really an Anders brief?
It could have been, Your Honor, but for the fact that a pre-sentencing motion was filed specifically asking.
You don't say that the denial of the motion was an error.
I think it would have been an Anders brief, Your Honor. But for the fact that this pre-sentencing motion was filed asking the district court to consider whether these culturally assimilative factors applied. It's certainly on the borderline, but I think what pushes it over the edge were the significant factors in this individual case brought forth in the motion, which I'm sure the court would also agree really wasn't addressed very extensively by the record. It was really just a starting point in the analysis by Judge Murphy, that acknowledging that the defendant committed a serious offense, but not really examining whether there was any criminal history, particularly criminal history from the period that Mr. Torres Herrera returned to the United States, committing the violation of unlawful reentry of an aggravated felon, to the 2011 period in which
he went out. The government filed a response, which you... It asked for an increase in the offense level based on obstruction of justice, violation of supervised release because of his unlawful reentry. And you don't say that, well, those weren't important and the judge should have ignored the government's response or rejected the government's response. So I don't see an argument in your brief.
Your Honor, I think it was... Perhaps it was a bit soft-pedaled, but I think that the issues are stark. The issue, as I pointed out, is quite significant. This Court has recognized the importance of recognizing culturally assimilative factors. Mr. Torres Herrera's lengthy and long ties to the United States, his lack of criminal history. A simple analysis by Judge Murphy of those factors would have addressed or clarified whether the simple serious offense was significant enough to warrant a 46-month sentence and whether that sentence should have been reasonable. As I say, I think we had a start.
What do you mean he has no prior? I don't understand. He's got a drug offense.
He has a drug offense, Your Honor. A serious felony.
No record. I don't understand.
Well, by that, Your Honor, I mean I believe that in applying specifically the culturally assimilative factors that the circuit has addressed, this court has looked at criminal history, not just the commission of a single or sole offense.
I don't understand you.
Your Honor, is it not correct that the court has looked at...
He's culturally assimilated to the drug trade.
However, Your Honor, there are other factors, given the fact that individuals who... do their time and are sentenced in our system of incarceration and then removed from the United States, they have histories. In this case, Mr. Torres Herrera had a very developed history, including perhaps his drug conviction. But beyond that, he had strong ties to the United States, the fact that his father had received amnesty. He became a lawful permanent resident. He has U.S. citizen children. And most importantly, I think, was the fact that from the time that he reentered the United States until the time of his indictment on this new serious offense, unlawful reentry, he committed no additional misconduct or violations. In fact, he was working, likely paying taxes, going to church, in fact, maybe more than one church, based on the submissions from members, ministers of two faith. And we believe that this, these factors simply were not addressed by the court on the record. And we would ask that the case be remanded, reversed and remanded for a new sentencing.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Brooks?
Good morning, Your Honors. Matthew Brooks on behalf of the United States of America. Government respectfully requests this court affirm the low guideline sentence that the district court provided to the defendant last year. As a threshold matter, we raised a jurisdictional argument in our brief, and we note that post-Booker does appear this court has addressed situations similar to the defendant where the defendant's requesting a discretionary downward departure from the guidelines. I believe Judge Posner and Mackworth a year ago, I was just reviewing that case, this court addressed that. However, prior to Booker, there are a number of cases that state this court does not have the jurisdiction to address the denial of a discretionary downward departure. And because those cases have not been overruled, we do not want to waive that procedural argument. That notwithstanding that, the real issue here, and I believe this panel was headed in that direction, is that the defendant's argument must fail on its merits. In his brief, the one argument or the case really that's cited by defense that this cultural assimilation argument should warrant a downward departure was Lopez v. Hernandez. And in Lopez Hernandez. And in that case, the court notes that the district court can consider a discretionary downward departure. However, in doing so, it must convince itself or must be assured that granting such a departure would not submit the public to further crimes of the defendant. Notably, in that case, the court did not grant a downward departure because of the defendant's criminal past, which is the exact same reason in the case we cited to Roche Martinez, which stated that it's within the district court's discretion to not grant a downward departure because of cultural assimilation based on a defendant's criminal history. That's precisely what happened in this case. The sentencing transcript is clear. It is brief, but it's clear that the judge stated he considered the memos of both counsel. However, based on the very serious nature of his previous crime, namely conspiracy to distribute a controlled substance, a discretionary downward departure was not warranted. No further questions?
Okay.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Brooks. Mr. Connors, do you have anything further?
Very briefly. We acknowledge the fact that the record doesn't contain a great deal of discussion of any of the matters brought to the attention of the court by the sentencing memorandum in this case. But I ask the court just to consider whether Judge Murphy's acknowledgement or recognition of the existence of a serious criminal offense is the same as examining his criminal history in light of the fact that a five-year period elapsed where the defendant had an additional opportunity to establish whether he was a risk to society. And I ask this court to consider, in fact, that he was not.
Okay, well, thank you. And you were appointed, were you not, Mr. Connors? We thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client.